This is the Reverend Christy Hoard from St. John's Episcopal Church in Pensacola, Florida. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast, St. John's Talks, a collection of sermons, interviews, and speaker events here at St. John's Episcopal Church. I hope you enjoy.
In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Well, this is a fun gospel reading, don't you think? The blessed and the woes. You guys got all that, right? You understand what Jesus is trying to tell us, right? Well, this, I don't know about you, but I've heard all kinds of preaching on this topic. And so this morning, I want to rely a lot on the writing of Dallas Willard. You guys know I'm a big fan of Dallas. He wrote extensively on these blessings and woes. And I think he's got the right message about what this is Jesus is trying to tell us. So here's Jesus. He's on the level place. He's got his disciples with him. He's got all these folks who've heard about Jesus, who feel the power of Jesus come out of him when they touch him. They'd come to be healed and to hear him. He moved among them. He would touch the sick, restore the broken, cast out spirits with a word. And they saw something they'd never seen before. Jesus had made the kingdom of heaven manifest in himself. The kingdom of heaven was available to him. They saw it in his authority. They marveled at his teachings. They saw it in his healing touch and the way mercy flowed from him. He was unlike any teacher they had ever known. The Pharisees and the scribes, you see, had taught them that God's favor was for the righteous, for those who had studied well and lived well. But there stood a man in whom the kingdom had taken up residence, and he was not hoarding it for himself. He was opening the doors wide open. And he spoke, "Blessed are the poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are the hungry now, for yours will be filled. Blessed are those who weep now, for you will laugh." And just as strikingly, he reversed the pronouncement. "Woe to you who are rich. Woe to you who are full now. Woe to you who are laughing now. Woe to all people when they speak well of you." You see, I think sometimes we misunderstood Jesus. This is not a moral teaching. It's not a new set of rules for us to follow in order to earn God's favor. It's not even a picture of the ideal Christian, that we have to be poor or hungry or grieving. Jesus was making an announcement. Jesus was declaring that the kingdom of God had arrived and that it was available to everyone. Not just the educated, not just the wealthy, not just the religiously respectable, everyone. The poor, the hungry, the grieving. In the kingdom that Jesus was proclaiming, the poor were not forgotten, the hungry were not left to starve, and those who wept would not do so forever. Jesus was inviting them in. And the invitation was shocking, even audacious, because Jesus himself was the evidence. The kingdom was fully available to him, and yet here he was standing among them, offering it freely. Dallas Willard wrote in The Kingdom Among Us, he was himself the evidence for the truth of his announcement about the availability of God's kingdom. It was available to ordinary human existence. He wasn't simply telling them to be patient, to endure their suffering so they could be rewarded in the next life. No, he was saying, the kingdom is here now. Come and see. And in that moment, everything was turned upside down. You see, in Jesus' time, wealth and success were thought to be signs of divine love. You must be favored by God because you're wealthy. The rich were the ones who had it made. They were considered blessed. The poor, the sick, the outcast, they were the ones under God's judgment. Even Jesus' disciples assumed this worldview. Remember when they encountered the blind man and the disciples asked Jesus, "Who sinned, Rabbi, the man or his parents, that he was born blind?" They assumed that suffering was a punishment, that someone must have done something to deserve it. But Jesus, as he does so often, overturned that assumption, responding, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him." And here in Luke, Jesus does it again. He declares that the ones the world had written off were in fact the ones God was blessing. The kingdom of heaven belonged to them. And then, of course, was the warning. "Woe to you who are rich, who are full now, who are laughing now." Jesus was not condemning wealth or food or, heaven forbid, laughter. He was issuing a warning. If you trust in those things, they will fail you. If you believe that your security comes from your status, your full belly, or your comfort, you'll be terribly disappointed when those things fade away. Again, Dallas says, "Under the rule of God, the rich and the poor have no necessary advantage over each other with regard to well-being or well-doing in this life or the next." This is what Jesus does throughout his ministry. He redefines what it means to be well off. The first will be last. The last will be first. Remember the parable of the hours where all the workers, whether they started at the beginning of the day or at the end of the day, all got paid the same? The kingdom is not about merit. It's about pure grace. This is the invitation Jesus extends. No one's excluded. The kingdom is available to all. Now let's step back and hear these words as these listeners in Jesus' time would have heard them. In Jesus' time, the goal of a great teacher was not to impart information, but to change the lives of those who hear. People didn't gather around Jesus and take notes. They had a tape recorder. They probably wouldn't pull that out or pull their phone out and took notes. No, they listened. They listened to be transformed. So I invite you today, put away your recorders and your notes. Open your ears. What Jesus is saying is not some abstract theology. It's about a new way to live. Honor everyone. Let the same mind be in you that is in Christ. Recognize that the kingdom is yours for the taking. It's not a new list of rules. It's not some impossible moral standard. It's an invitation into a new reality. So how can we do this? How can we apply this in our lives? First, trust in God's kingdom, not in the world's security. The rich and powerful of Jesus' day thought they had it made, but their wealth and their food and their status did not give them a lasting foundation. Ask yourself, where is your security? Where is your trust? Honor the unblessables. Jesus did not avoid the poor, the sick, or the rejected. He drew near to them. Who in your life have you overlooked recently? Who do you need to see with Jesus' eye? Live with open hands. The kingdom is freely given, and we must live as people who give freely. This means generosity with our time, our money, and our love. So here's your homework for the week. If you want to take notes now, you can. Bless those who curse you. Respond to hostility this week with kindness. Give freely. Make a sacrifice for someone in need. Ask yourself, where is my trust? Spend time in prayer, asking if you're relying too much on the things of this world and not on God's presence.
Jesus stood on the level place and declared, "The kingdom of God is yours for the taking." This is not a future promise. It's a present reality, and it's still true today. Jesus is saying to us, come and see. See that the kingdom of heaven is, see that the kingdom of heaven is already here. It's available to all. It's not just for the powerful, but for us, whether we're poor or grieving or overlooked. Jesus indeed turns the world upside down. And once you've seen this the kingdom of heaven, step into it. Amen.